Thank you, Jay, and happy birthday. Many, many more. Good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord, the doctors released me this week, and I can do anything I want to do. That covers a lot. If you will, take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That'll be on page 1214 of your King James Schofield Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and then keep your finger there as we move around to some other verses. Our text verse for the morning's message on this Labor Day weekend is verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians 3. For we are laborers together with God. Now think about that for just a minute. We are laborers together with God. We little tiny finite creatures can work with the Creator of this universe. That's an amazing thing. The title for my message this morning is Labor Day for the Christian. Now let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the good crowd that has come out on this Labor Day weekend. We thank you for your love. We thank you for our church. And we do thank you for all of those that labor here. We would not have this great church without them. Now I pray as we preach your word that you'll help us to not think about things maybe have planned the rest of this day, but concentrate on the preaching of your word. Save those who may be lost. Reclaim those who may be backslidden. And do a work in everybody's heart these next few minutes in Jesus' name. Amen. The ancient city of Corinth was in southern Greece. This city had two splendid harbors. Under the support of Julius Caesar, the city had become one of the most important ports in all of Europe. When Paul came to Corinth, he found a population of about 500,000 people. Ships from every nation were in the harbors, and the streets were crowded with travelers from every country. But the reputation of the city was bad. The nights and days were filled with drunkenness and revelry. Sin was rampant among all classes of people. If someone in the Roman or Grecian world wanted to say that a man was leading a low sinful life, they would say, "He behaves like a Corinthian." Now, Paul came to this godless, wicked, heathen city to show them a more excellent way of life. I want you to notice what he says first of all. If you're there in 1 Corinthians, I hope you are, look to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, and notice what Paul says. I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's been the theme of my ministry for 43 years. I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul stayed in the city for about 18 months teaching and preaching the gospel. He won many converts and established a strong church. He then went on his way to other places and other churches. Soon the news of divisions in the Corinthian church began to drift back to him. These people were following men instead of following Christ. He wrote them and he rebuked them, telling them that Paul and Cephas and Apollos were nothing, but that Christ was everything. Then we come to our text as he tells us, the Corinthian churches, that we are laborers together with God. That still is an amazing thing in my mind. We are laborers together with God. Our churches today need to learn this lesson anew. We are not working for a living. Some pay for a home, some to educate their children. But few people can truthfully say, I am working with God and for God. On the first Monday of each September, America celebrates Labor Day. But every day is Labor Day for the Christian. Every day we should be living for Christ. Every day we should be witnessing. Every day we should be winning others to Christ. So as we look at our text, let us think upon the subject, Labor Day for the Christian. In this text, we see the dignity of toil. He says, we are laborers. I am so glad that was said about Christians. There is great dignity in toil, in honest labor. This world has no respect for an idler, but honors a man who works hard. When we look at the history, we see that it was made by workers and not shirkers. When we look at science, we see the greatest advances have been made by those who toiled down through the years. When we look at Christianity, we see that it has been carried on by those who are willing to work. I'm glad he honored the workers today. They need to be honored all the time. I want you to notice what the Bible says back in Exodus chapter 20, if you'll turn there, keeping your finger in 1 Corinthians. Exodus chapter 20, that'll be on page 95. First book is Genesis and then Exodus, page 95. Exodus chapter 20, and look with me at verse number 9. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 9. Notice what it says. 6 days shalt thou labor. Dear folks, that is a commandment. That is not a suggestion. 6 days shalt thou labor. Now let's go back to the New Testament again. To 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, please. Page 1272. 1272. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and look with me at verse number 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, page 1272. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now, it's perfectly all right to support those who cannot work for some reason or other, but charity is no substitute for honest toil. This same city of Corinth went down into oblivion because the citizens became wealthy and ceased to work. Rome waxed great in power and wealth, but became a nation of idlers. She lived on the taxes extorted from others. She perished from the earth, filled with rottenness and wickedness. America is fast becoming a nation of idlers. Men everywhere are crying out for less work and more pleasure. The great mass of our people have lost their ambition and incentive. It is a serious condition when large numbers live upon the toil of others. This condition breaks down morale and makes worthless citizens. But this morning, I want us to think about this on this Labor Day weekend. I want to talk about laborers in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. He said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is still day. He said, the king's business require haste. He said, the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. He said, take up your cross and follow after me. I wonder how many of us have picked up our cross and followed him. If we follow in his footsteps, we are certainly going to be active in his cause. A little boy was miraculously saved in a dangerous accident. His mother said to him, I guess that the angels brought my boy safely home. And a little fellow asked, Mother, do angels work? I thought they just loafed around the throne of God. Well, no, it's not true of angels, and it should not be true of believers either. We are workers together. And there's so much work to do, and there's so little time in which to do it. The Bible says the fields are white unto harvest. Do you have a place of service in these fields? Are you working for the Lord? Then the next thing I want us to look at is the joy of fellowship in service. We are workers together. A great man said, you must learn two things in order to be successful. You must learn to work, and you must learn to work with others. All around us, we see the need of cooperation. When Solomon led the people in building the great temple for God, he employed 70,000 burden bearers. And in the mountains, there were 80,000 hewers of stone who never came near the temple. Hundreds of skilled men working with gold and silver and brass. During World War II, there were millions of servicemen giving their best for America. Although there were sailors and soldiers and Marines and airmen and all the others, they are many different groups, but they all were working together to do a great work in helping build this for God. What a great thing as our Lord helped our country get through World War II, and we're victorious because of people that labored. There would never have been a temple in Jerusalem unless the people got together and worked. Our country would never have won World War II without the cooperation of its people. Jesus wanted cooperation among his followers. He sent the 70 out in pairs to win the lost. And what was the result? They returned with joy, saying, "Even the devils were subject to us in thy name." On the day of Pentecost, we read that all the people were together in one place. Christian people never have the power, never do good things for the Lord until they get together. United we stand, divided we fall. We need cooperation in advancing the cause of Christ. Suppose that every Christian brought his tithe into God's storehouse. My, what wonderful things could be done for the Lord around the world. We have had some outstanding missionaries come and visit our church in the past couple of years, some outstanding ones, and I would love to have taken them on and supported them, but we weren't able to do so. We are a great giving church, but we lack in our mission giving. Someone said recently in visiting our church, "I'm so glad to be in a church where the pastors don't talk about money all the time." Well, we don't, and we don't have to because of your good giving, and we praise you for it. Many years ago, down when we were at Greenbush, a family, a young, beautiful family, came in one Sunday morning, Keith and Lisa Morgell. And they liked the church and decided they was going to stay around. They got into I was teaching a new converts class at that time, and they got into the class, and I had a lesson on salvation, how to be saved and go to heaven. And I could tell they didn't understand it at all. So I made an appointment with them. I went out to their home. They had, at that time, I think, 5 children, and Lisa did homeschooling for all of them. Now they have 8 children, and what a family they have. What a beautiful family. And so I went out to their home and went through the scriptures, and Keith and Lisa and all the kids accepted Christ as Savior. Then another lesson I had in the converts class was tithing, and what about tithing? And after it was over, Keith came up to me and said, "Pastor, if the Bible says I'm to tithe, I'm going to tithe." And I said, "Praise the Lord." Always glad to hear that. What a great family. Well, I haven't seen them in many, many years. He was relocated and kind of lost track of them. But they were down for Bill and Beverly's wedding because Lisa is a relative of Beverly's. And so I got to revisit with them again. And I asked him, I said, "Keith, do you remember when we went out the house and you guys got saved?" "Yes, I remember that." "Do you remember other things?" "And yeah, I remember that." What a great church. We loved that church. And we had a great time just revisiting one another. You know, there's lots of ups and downs in the pastorate. But ever so often, a family like the Morgell family comes in and makes it all work possible. And the thing was about the Morgell family when they were here, is that they're all active in a good church. All the families active in a good church, and they're all serving the Lord. And to see them stick with it just blesses my heart. Next thing, the blessedness of divine companionship. We are workers together with God. Now, this is the best part of all. We fail when we're not linked with God. Someone has said that if you want to make a success in life, you should link yourself to some great cause and give your best to it. Why does the world remember John and Charles Wesley and Spurgeon and Moody and Luther and Billy Sunday and Billy Graham? Many other men could preach, excuse me, better and are unknown. Every morning I have a little problem with my throat. Because they link their lives with God. It may be a fine thing. Excuse me for just a minute. Take a little drink. Because they link their lives with God. It may be a fine thing to work for General Motors or U.S. Steel or Standard Oil, but how much more blessed to work with God? It's wonderful to have him as our senior partner. Have you ever thought about that? We are workers together with him. He is our senior partner. Now, there are some things that God does which we can have no part in. He paints the clouds and gives the golden hues to the sunset. He keeps the stars in their orbit. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He tints the rose and the lily. He gives to the flowers sweetness. Now, we can have no part in doing these things, but God does other things just as great in which we can have a part. We can put the tints of beauty in human souls. We can transform lives through his power. In his service, we can lift men from darkness into light and from sin into God. Yes, we can have a part in the biggest business in all the world. This is certainly the thing that Paul was talking about. It is a solemn thought to remember that you and me can work with Almighty God, the one who made the world and holds it in the hollow of his hands. It also is a great honor to work with God. If our president of our country were to ask us to come and help him in an important matter, and God knows he needs the help, we would consider that a great honor. But how much greater an honor is it when God calls us to work for him in the greatest work in all the world? His work will outlast the stars. Now, this is a strong encouragement. If we are workers with God, he is also a worker with us. That means, dear folks, we cannot fail. For all the power and wisdom of heaven is on our side. We're not alone when we preach. We're not alone when we teach. We're not alone when we lead young people in Christian work. We're not alone when we visit the sick and lift up the fallen and win the lost. We are never alone in the home, in the store, in the office, in the shop, in the schools. We are never, ever alone. God is always there by our side, helping us and working with us. Here then is our task, the task of winning souls, of helping lives, of living faithfully, of using our influence, of giving our money, so that we can make Christ known around the world. And someday in heaven, when we meet the Master, and as we hear him talk of Calvary's sacrifice, how wonderful will it be when we say, "Oh, Master, I tried to do my best. I tried to do my part." Surely then we will hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." Three men were working on the construction of a great cathedral. One man was asked what he was doing. He said, "I'm mixing mortar." Another man said in answer to the same question, "I'm working for $5 a day." But the third man answered as he looked up toward the sky, "I'm building a great cathedral where men might come and worship God." The last man caught the right conception for true labor. He was not laboring just for today, but for all the days ahead. Let me urge you, dear folks, to link your life with God. Put your hand in the nail-pierced hand of Christ and be willing to labor and be spent for him. Then when life is over, you will have your reward in heaven, and you will rejoice that what you have done, is going to live forever. Jacob was a keeper of a lighthouse on a lonely shore. He was a good and faithful man. He loved a fine woman by the name of Martha. When they were married, she came to live with him in the lighthouse. He said to her, "Martha, remember this. Above all things, we must keep the lens clean and the light burning brightly." As the years went by, this couple remained faithful to their trust, and no vessel ever went down near that shore because of a bright light shining to guide them. Then one day, Jacob contracted a cold, which developed into pneumonia. They brought a boat from the mainland to take him to the hospital. The last words he said to his wife were, "Martha, remember to keep the lens clean and the light burning brightly." Each evening, a boat would come out to the lighthouse to bring news of his condition. Although the messenger brought the same message to Martha, "Keep the lens clean and the light burning brightly." One day, the boat was a little bit late, and Martha was very concerned. They got a message. "How's Jacob?" she said. And the messenger said, held his head in sorrow. "Her husband is dead. He's dead. I'm sorry. He's dead." "Did he leave a message for me?" asked Martha. And the man said, "Yes. He said to tell you that he loves you so very, very much, and to keep the lens clean and the light burning sharply." Oh, dear folks, Jesus sends that message to you and me. He tells us that we are the light of the world. We must keep the lens of our lives pure and clean and the light of our faith burning brightly. God help us to keep the light of hope and faith and good works burning at last till one day he'll take us home to be with him. Until then, we are workers with God. Now, you can't be a worker with God until you know him as your Lord and Savior. And I wonder if you do. If you don't, what a better time to do it than today. Let's bow in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your goodness. We thank you for work. We thank you to honor a day when the workers are honored, and they should be. I pray for all the workers in this auditorium this morning. I pray whatever jobs they do, whatever work they do, that they'll remember they're working together with God Almighty. I pray and bless the invitation as only you can do. There may be some here that needs to make some kind of a decision this morning. I pray you'll help them to do that. Bless the invitation as we go into it now. In Jesus' name, amen.